Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to my Subaru for another Miller Time devotion, where we take some time to dig deeper into God's Word so that God's Word can dig deeper into us. Now, for the next couple of weeks, I am going to wade into the extremely, highly controversial area of God and politics. That's right. We're going to look at some scriptures that talk about our relationship to the government. Now, I want to kind of lay a foundation here and just really make this clear. We don't have to agree on everything. It is okay to have disagreements as Christians. One of the beauties of the Christian faith is that there is diversity and there's beauty and there's complexity and we don't have to all think alike. That's not the goal of the Christian life, that we all think alike. But in the midst of differences, in the midst of disagreements, there are certain principles that God has that are essential. So, let me start off today and have you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. In fact, you know what? I'm even going to have you go back a few verses to verse 8. I'm just going to lay this foundation for these discussions regarding our relationship with the government. And I'm going to read today from the Amplified Version. Verse 8 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies," that is the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of God, of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now, Peter is reminding us of our identity, of who we are, that we have been given mercy, that we have been chosen by God, that we are a royal priesthood. Now, think about that. The people that Peter is writing to were poor. They were servants or slaves. They didn't have a lot of means. They had no power politically or financially. And Peter is saying those things don't define you. They don't name you. What you have, your position, position in society, or how much money you have, or how much power politically you have, those things don't name you. What names you is that you are chosen by God. And by the way, he reminds us, you were once far from God. You were once an enemy of God, but now you have received mercy. And here's why that is so important, because no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter your race, no matter your ethnicity, culture, country, no matter your age, your generation, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. We are all saved by God's mercy. And then God binds us together. He brings us together in this beautiful but complex thing that we call the church family or the body of Christ. Now, with that in mind, listen to what he says next in verse 11. Beloved, don't forget that you're beloved. Don't forget that he's chosen you. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers. Now, some translations say the word sojourner. Some translations use the word pilgrim. What Peter is reminding us here is that no matter what country we live in, no matter what language we speak, no matter where we live, no matter how long we have lived there, we are just passing through. This world is not our home. We have an inheritance that is in heaven. We have a home that is in heaven. This life is temporary. Now, we do the best we can to make this world the best it can be. We are praying, God, may your kingdom come. Bring heaven on earth, God. That is our prayer. We want to make this world the best it can be. But this is not our ultimate home. For me and Jen, that's kind of easy. We've moved 22 times. We don't feel like we have roots in this world. And so, in light of that, in light of the fact that we are just passing through, here's what you need to know. You are a Christian first. You are a Christian before you are an American. You are a Christian before you are an African. You are a Christian before whatever country you may have come from. And it is so important. It is imperative, Christian, that you keep that first, because the reality is that you have Christian brothers and sisters. That's right, they're family, who have different political views than you. And of course, your political views are correct. You're right, and they're wrong, right? And so, whatever your political views may be, whether you call yourself a Republican or an Independent or Libertarian or a Democrat, you are a Christian first, and you can never let any of those other things get in the way of your relationship and your friendship with the body of Christ. And I know it's hard, because I know you feel strongly about your political views, whatever they may be, but you have to remember that you are a Christian first. He goes on and he says, and so because of that, because you're just passing through, abstain from the sensual urges, that is, those dishonorable desires. Now, that might be substance abuse. It might have to do with alcoholism or drug addiction, but it also has to do with the way you think, those sensual urges that affect the body, that affect the mind. Those are those things that, listen, well, this, here's what Peter says, that wage war against your soul. That wage war against your soul. See, that is the power of sinful behavior. It doesn't just affect your body. It doesn't just affect your mind. It actually is toxic to your soul. And so he says, keep your behavior excellent among especially the Gentiles, that is, unbelievers. Conduct yourself honorably with graciousness and integrity. Now think about that in political situations. Think about that with disagreements on Facebook or on Instagram. Think about that in discussions where you might have a disagreement with someone. Keep your behavior excellent among people who disagree with you, people who are different than you. Conduct yourself honorably with graciousness and integrity, so that whatever reason they may slander you as evildoers, yet by observing your good deeds and your good behavior, they may instead come to glorify God in the day of visitation, that is, when God looks upon them with mercy. And so, Christian brother and sister, the goal is not unanimity. The goal is unity, and we can have unity in the body of Christ even though we may have disagreements. We can disagree without being disagreeable. So think about that today. I'll come back next time, and I've got a lot more to say about our relationship with the government. May God's peace guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God bless you guys. See you next time. I love you.